Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. I do want to encourage you to check out our other podcast, including The War. If you're interested in World War II, War is just a fantastic series. I did it really as a labor of love back in 2013 to 14, set to coincide with the 70th anniversary of D-Day. And we walk through the war, starting with material from the pre-war era, showing where America was at, and then following America into conflict and all the way through the war. We use news programs, but we also mix in a lot of comedy and drama and music, because that's all an expression of what life was like during World War II. If you're interested in World War II at all, you definitely want to check it out. It's at thewar.greatdetectives.net. And you can find all the podcasts that I do listed over there at greatdetectives.net. Well, now it's time for another episode of Mr. Chameleon. The original air date is September the 1st of 1948, and the title is The Case of the Bloodstained Dollar Bills.
Tonight, we again present the famous Mr. Chameleon of Central Headquarters in his most famous cases of crime and murder. Brought to you by the makers of Bayer Aspirin. For those who do not know who Mr. Chameleon is, we give a quick sketch of his character. Born of a well-to-do family and a college man, he tried from childhood to live up to the name he bore, Chameleon. By taking on the color of whatever situation in which he found himself, appearing in endless guises, finally entering the police force, where he became known as Chameleon, the man of many faces, the underworld's most dreaded man. Throughout this series, the listener will invariably know who Mr. Chameleon is, no matter in which disguise he appears. But the criminal he's tracking seldom does. Tonight we give you Mr. Chameleon and the case of the blood-stained dollar bills. Our story opens in the apartment of Hubert Van Dyke, a luxurious bachelor apartment in the smart East 60s. But the sprawling body on the floor of the attractive living room has been dead for many hours. Detective Sergeant Dave Arnold is saying to Mr. Chameleon, that fabulous detective whose ability to disguise himself is known and feared throughout the underworld.
He was shot sometime during the early morning, Mr. Chameleon. Coroner places it between 1 and 2. No one heard the shot, but there are only 3 other tenants, and they're away for the weekend.
Well, I'm surprised that Hubert Van Dyke stayed in town, Dave, instead of spending the weekend with some of his sporty friends. Could it be that Sylvia Sutherland was in town, too?
Mr. Chameleon, you think that Sutherland girl had something to do with this murder?
I'm almost positive. She'd been seen constantly with Van Dyke, just as she went steadily with Archie Clyde before he was found murdered 6 months ago.
To say nothing of that guy who used to be her chauffeur, who was shot to death in a waterfront hotel last week.
Dave, that chauffeur and Archie Clyde, when they were found, they were each clutching a dollar bill.
Yeah, not this one, though. There's no dollar bill on this Van Dyke guy.
No? Look, Dave, protruding over the top of his vest pocket.
A dollar bill.
And it's stained with blood.
Holy smoke, what is this, Mr. Chameleon?
I don't know, but I'm going to find out. I'm going to get the goods on that girl, Sylvia Sutherland, if it takes me a year, or 5 years, or 10. Dave, she is incredible. Beautiful, from a respectable family, travels around with a wealthy, fast young crowd, yet her name has been linked with 3 murders. She's mixed up in something very evil.
Yeah, she's a smart baby, all right. One of the smartest criminals we've ever been up against.
Yes, she is. And this dollar bill, what the devil is that supposed to symbolize? That girl is a complete mystery, and I don't like mysteries. At least I don't like the kind I can't solve.
Sylvia Sutherland really gets under your skin, doesn't she, Mr. Chameleon?
Dave, I dream about her. I positively dream about her. Well, nothing to do except question her again.
Mr. Chameleon, don't you ever get bored with this questioning routine? I should think you'd begin to find it pretty tiresome.
I'm beginning to find you pretty tiresome, Miss Sutherland.
Oh, do call me Sylvia. We're old friends by now. Why, this office of yours at Central Headquarters is like a second home to me.
Miss Sutherland...
That motto of yours hanging on the wall. The innocent must be protected. The guilty must be punished. It's such a noble sentiment.
I agree. And the guilty are punished, Miss Sutherland. May take a little while, but they haven't a chance.
I suppose you mean by that I haven't a chance. All right, Mr. Chameleon. If I'm a criminal, an evildoer, a murderess, prove it.
Miss Sutherland, you are amazing. For months, you have been seen in the company of Hubert Van Dyke. Van Dyke is found murdered, and yet you were as hard and unmoved as if Van Dyke were a stranger.
Maybe I've learned to be hard.
Well, you've certainly learned your lesson well. Then I guess I'll have to pay another visit to your guardian. Poor Mrs. Clarkson, she must be tired of seeing me, too.
Aunt Edith can't help you, Mr. Chameleon. She knows nothing about Hubert's murder. She can't even give me an alibi. I told you I had no alibi. I went to a midnight movie last night.
All by yourself?
All by myself. I saw Broken Dreams at the Colony Playhouse, and it was very sad. I cried my eyes out.
I'm delighted to hear that you're able to cry.
Mr. Chameleon, I suppose you won't believe me when I tell you that I was in love with Hubert Van Dyke.
If that is true, Miss Sutherland, all I can say is that it's a great misfortune for any man to have you fall in love with him. Archie Clyde, for instance, he was murdered too. Harry Peters, the chauffeur. Not that you loved him, he was simply your employee.
But it's a great misfortune for anyone to even know me.
Apparently, yes.
In that case, Mr. Chameleon, aren't you worried about yourself? If you want to see Aunt Edith, we'd better get started. She's addressing a meeting of her literary club today.
Mrs. Clarkson, I'm sorry to bother you again, but your niece Sylvia Sutherland is in trouble once more. Third time within a year she's been connected with a murder. And the police want to know why.
But my dear Mr. Chameleon, I've told you before, my niece's life is her own. It breaks my heart, but there seems to be nothing I can do about it.
You raised her, didn't you?
Her parents died in an automobile accident when she was two. I did my best to raise her, but... apparently, my best was none too good.
Well, I'm sure that you did everything you could, Mrs. Clarkson. It's a very lovely home.
Oh, it's that wealthy, dissolute crowd she goes with. Mr. Chameleon, will you hand me that cotton, please?
I beg your pardon?
That ball of crochet cotton on the table?
Oh, yes.
Thank you very much. I'm crocheting a doily. I crochet a great deal. I find it's good for my nerves. Where was I?
You were talking about Sylvia's dissolute friends.
Oh, yes. Well, the only one of her friends I really like is that sweet little Helen Brown who works at the Colony Lending Library right around the corner.
What about Hubert Van Dyke, the man who was murdered last night? Did you like him?
Definitely not. He drank far too much. Same with Archie Clyde. Oh, really, it's very sad.
And your former chauffeur, Harry Peters?
Oh, Mr. Chameleon, really. Surely you don't believe that my niece had anything to do with that. I discharged Harry for drinking and impudence. I discharged him, in fact, at Sylvia's request. But she certainly had nothing to do with his death.
I disagree.
Now, really, Mr. Chameleon.
I disagree because when their bodies were found, all three men were holding dollar bills in their hands. Or at least two of them were. The third dead man had a dollar bill protruding from his pocket. And frankly,
What? Oh, what is it, Martha? This is my housekeeper, Mr. Chameleon, Martha Stevens.
Yes, we've met before.
Oh, of course. Well, what is it, Martha?
That girl was just here. That Helen Brown from the lending library. She wanted to see Miss Sylvia. I wouldn't let her.
Why not?
Miss Sylvia said she had a headache. She went upstairs to lie down. But Helen Brown, she said she had to see Miss Sylvia tonight. She said it was important.
Oh, well, in that case, I'd better go upstairs and give Sylvia the message. Wait for me, Mr. Chameleon.
Don't worry, I will.
What's that you're whistling?
Oh, you still here, Martha? That is, who is Sylvia? What is she? You familiar with him?
Yes.
Really, a very beautiful room. You took good care of it, Martha.
I do. Mrs. Clarkson likes beautiful things.
Yes, that's quite evident. Martha, where was Miss Sylvia last night?
What?
Where was Miss Sylvia last night? Let's say between midnight and 3 a.m.
What do you want to know for? Can't you leave her alone? You cops make me sick counting her like you do.
Where was Miss Sylvia between midnight and 3 a.m.?
She was right here with me.
You mean here in this house? You sure about that?
Yes. She came downstairs to the kitchen just about midnight. We sat there talking until after 3. And you needn't look at me so funny, Mr. Chameleon. I'd swear to that in court.
So you see, Dave, Martha, the housekeeper, contradicted Sylvia Sutherland's alibi. And one of them is lying, or both of them are lying. Sylvia made a slip for the first time. She should have seen to it that no one would contradict her story.
Maybe it's the break you've been waiting for, Mr. Chameleon.
Maybe. This girl is certainly involved in criminal activity. She's been so infernally clever. She's fooled all of her friends and literally gotten away with murder.
What about this Brown girl we're going to see now at the lending library? You think she can tell us anything?
I wouldn't be surprised. She's evidently close to Sylvia. The only friend her aunt approves of it. Dave?
What's the matter, Mr. Chameleon?
It was the Colony Lending Library, wasn't it?
Yeah, here it is right here.
Yes, I know, but the place is dark. It's closed up.
Yes, it is dark and the door is closed.
Ah, well, it isn't locked.
Take it easy, Mr. Chameleon.
Anyone there? Miss Brown? Miss Brown?
Wait, I've got the light switch. Holy smoke!
Miss Brown. Or at least I presume it's Miss Brown. Yes, here are her initials on her belt buckle, HB.
Is she dead?
Mm-hmm. Apparently someone came up behind her and struck her on the head. Dave, look, in her left hand. A neatly folded dollar bill. There were no fingerprints on the dollar bill, Commissioner. Just as there were no fingerprints on the one we found on Van Dyke.
Mm-hmm.
But there it was in Helen Brown's hand, the mark of the killer. The victim, as usual, is a friend of Sylvia Sutherland's.
Did you check on the dead girl's background, Chameleon?
Yes, indeed. Well, little Helen Brown was just an average girl, obviously dazzled by Sylvia Sutherland's glamour. But she was being used, Commissioner. And my guess is that lending library is being used for some purpose.
Who operates it?
Very nice couple named Hawley. They were horrified, naturally. To them, murder is something that takes place only between book covers. Which reminds me, Commissioner, Harry Peters, the chauffeur who was murdered in that ratty little waterfront hotel... You recall what he was doing when the killer entered his room?
Why, yes, he was found sitting up in bed.
He'd been reading, Commissioner. The book fell to the floor. We attached no importance to it, but it was impounded, of course. I want to see that book.
You think it came from the Colony Lending Library?
Yes. Commissioner, the Hawleys are reopening the library in a couple of days. Don't you think that the police might be able to persuade them to hire a man to succeed Helen Brown?
And that man would be you, Chameleon, in disguise?
Well, yes, who else? I'll take the name of Wilbur Wilcox. Rumpled hair, rumpled clothes, pasty skin, plus a perpetual cold in the head.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, well, that does it.
You may be walking into a hornet's nest, Chameleon.
Yes, I think so. I hope so.
If you could only put the finger on that incredible Sutherland girl.
By the way, where Sylvia Sutherland is concerned, I have a brand new theory. From now on, Commissioner, everything I do will be based on that new theory.
Mr. Chameleon and the case of the blood-stained dollar bills continues in just a moment. Perhaps you've never taken anything for the relief of ordinary headache because you think that what you take might have an ill effect on you. In that case, remember this. Of all pain relievers, none can match Bayer Aspirin's record of reliability. Its record of use by millions of normal people without ill effect. In addition to reliable relief, Bayer Aspirin also gives you fast relief. Within 2 seconds after you take it, it starts disintegrating. You can prove this by dropping a Bayer Aspirin tablet in a glass of water. You'll see it start to disintegrate before it reaches the bottom of the glass, and what happens in the glass happens in your stomach. And that's why genuine Bayer Aspirin brings you relief so quickly. So for fast relief from headache, neuritic, or neuralgic pain, take advantage of the 2-second disintegrating action Bayer Aspirin gives you. When you buy, always ask for it by its full name, Bayer Aspirin. Never by the name Aspirin alone. Get the 100-tablet bottle and you get Bayer Aspirin tablets for less than a penny apiece. And now back to Mr. Chameleon and the case of the blood-stained dollar bills. It is several days later, and the Colony Lending Library has reopened its doors just a few minutes before. Inside is Mr. Chameleon, the famous detective, disguised as Mr. Wilcox, the librarian.
Mystery novels. Mystery novels, nothing but trash. People should be forbidden to read such rot. Good
morning.
Boarding, do you mind closing the door, please? I can't stand drafts.
Okay.
What could I do for you? Detective novel, no doubt you're the type.
Yeah? And what's wrong with detectives?
You should know, Detective Sergeant Davon. Huh? You should know.
Mr. Chameleon, yeah. I didn't know you. I thought you were some kind of an assistant librarian.
Wilbur Wilcox requires no assistance, Dave. He's quite capable of running this place by himself. Did you get an answer to that wire to Claremont, Wisconsin?
Yeah, here it is. Yeah. Another thing, Mr. Chameleon, you were right about the book. The one that Harry Peters was reading when he was murdered. It came from this lending library, and what's more, I think
no.
that...
Watch it, Dave. Customer. What a customer.
Huh? Oh. Hello, Miss Sutherland.
Well, if it isn't Detective Sergeant Arnold. Where's your friend, Mr. Chameleon? You look lonesome without him.
He's, on a job.
You mean he's no longer interested in me? Oh, I'm hurt. Or could it be that he knows when he's failed?
Chameleon? He doesn't know the meaning of the word fail.
Then he's more of a fool than I thought he was. Oh, good morning. Are you the new librarian?
Yes, I am. Is that door open again?
I'll close it.
Thank you. What could I do for you, Miss Sutherland?
Sylvia Sutherland. The notorious Sylvia Sutherland.
Oh, yes.
Or hasn't word reached the bookworms here at the lending library that I'm a dangerous woman?
I beg your pardon.
Oh, never mind. I'm returning this book. It's due today. The Devil's Brew.
Are you taking out another book, Miss Sutherland?
Not now. Detective Sergeant Arnold.
Yes, Miss Sutherland?
There's one thing your friend, Mr. Chameleon, was right about. He wouldn't believe this, but I was very fond of Helen Brown. Apparently, I do bring tragedy to everyone I know.
Miss Sutherland, wait a minute, will you?
No, let her go, Dave.
You don't want me to tell her, Mr. Chameleon?
No, stick around. And let's take a look at this book that she's just returned. Devil's Brew. Suppose we shake it. Nothing concealed in the pages, but... Oh, no, who's this?
Looks like Santa Claus.
Yes, doesn't it?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's a beautiful morning, isn't it? It makes you glad to be alive. Yes, sir, it certainly makes you glad to be alive. Do you have a book called The Devil's Brew?
The Devil's Brew?
Yes.
Yes, but it isn't in right now.
Oh, are you sure about that?
Yes, certainly, I'm sure. But it may be in later. Excuse me. Can I interest you in something else?
No, I want that particular book. I'll tell you, I'll stop back in about an hour. There Well, good morning again. Has the book come in yet, The Devil's Brew?
I have it right here for you.
Oh, that's splendid. My name is Hilton. J.M. Hilton, East 61st Street. And thank you very much for holding it for me.
Oh, you're very, very welcome, Mr. Hilton. Okay, Dave, don't let him out of your sight.
Right, Mr. Commander.
And call me the minute that anything develops. I'm closing up the bookshop in half an hour. After that, you'll find me at Sylvia Sutherland's.
My dear man, I'm sorry. What was the name?
Wilbur Wilcox.
God bless you.
There you go.
My dear Mr. Wilcox, I don't quite understand why you insist on seeing my niece.
Because, Mrs. Clark said, it's a matter of grave importance.
But does Sylvia know you? No. Oh, by the way, could I trouble you for that ball of crochet thread? It rolled under your chair.
Oh, yes. There you are.
Thank you.
My dear mama used to crochet.
Really? Oh, how sweet. I find it wonderful for the nerves. But are you a friend of Sylvia's?
No, Aunt Edith. He's not a friend of mine.
Oh, Sylvia, my dear, I didn't hear you come in.
Martha told me there was someone here. But he's not a friend of mine, Aunt Edith. He's the new librarian at the Colony Lending Library.
Really? Well, why didn't you say so, Mr. Wilcox?
Because I have an unpleasant duty to perform, Mrs. Clarkson. Excuse me.
What sort of an unpleasant duty?
Something to do with me, no doubt.
Yes, Miss Sutherland. You have been defacing one of the books that you borrowed from our library. You marked several of the pages. You drew circles around the page numbers. I had quite a hard time erasing them.
Erasing them?
Yes. I'm afraid the marks still showed when I gave the book to an old gentleman.
But Mrs. Clarkson.
Yes, Martha?
There's a telephone call for a Mr. Wilcox.
Mr. Wilcox? Oh, that's you, isn't it?
Yes.
You can take it on the extension phone here, Mr. Wilcox.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry to trouble you, but this call was important. A matter of life and death, so to speak. Hello? Speaking? Yes. You mean the numbers correspond with... I got it. Yes.
Miss Sylvia.
Shh, Martha, I want to hear this.
You did? Fine, fine. Okay, Dave, I'll carry on from there.
And what was that all about, Mr. Wilcox, if you don't mind my asking?
Not at all, Miss Sutherland. On the evidence just received, I hereby arrest you for the murders of Helen Brown and Hubert Van Dyke.
But you can't arrest Sylvia. My niece can't be a murderess.
Miss Sylvia never killed him. She never harmed anyone.
And who are you to arrest me? Mr. Chameleon. You're Mr. Chameleon, that horrible detective.
What?
The detective? But he's nothing of the sort, Sylvia. His name is Wilcox. He said so.
No, Mrs. Clarkson, your niece is quite right. I am Mr. Chameleon.
Then why did you pose as Mr. Wilcox in that lending library?
Because, Miss Sutherland, that lending library was a clearinghouse for your particular racket.
I don't know what you're talking about. And I didn't kill Helen. Or Hubert either.
I'm sorry. I'm taking you with me to central headquarters. Well, are you coming, Miss Sutherland?
No. No, she isn't.
Martha.
I'm the one who killed him. I killed all of them. Harry Peters and Archie Clyde, too. Sylvia didn't know it, but they were a bad lot, all of them.
Even little Helen Brown, the librarian?
Yes, yes. They were all of them bad for her. I had to protect her. I had to look out for her.
You take a great interest in Sylvia, don't you, Martha? Why? Why such a personal interest?
Never mind that, Mr. Chameleon. Just take me to prison instead of her. I'm the one who killed him. I'll swear to it.
Will you also swear, Martha, that you're the head of a narcotic ring?
What?
What was that?
Don't act so surprised, Sylvia. You know perfectly well that you smuggled narcotics to your wretched friends.
No, I didn't know.
Oh, come now, my dear. Hubert Van Dyke found out about it. That's why he was killed. Harry Peters was one of the agents who distributed the stuff. And Helen Brown, she discovered your trick of marking the book pages. So she had to be silenced, too.
No.
Detective Sergeant Arnold trailed the old man who picked up that book, The Devil's Brew, and he went straight to a bus terminal. In that terminal, there are lockers. And he chose the three lockers whose numbers correspond with the marked pages in the book. And in those various lockers, he placed packages of narcotics.
I didn't know. I didn't know.
Whereupon he locked the lockers and hid the keys underneath a bench in the waiting room, fastening them there with wads of chewing gum. Later, you or one of your gang would go to the terminal and pick up those drugs.
I tell you, I didn't know.
And not only that, you abused your Aunt Edith's kindness. For the narcotics were concealed, where do you think? In the center of the balls of crochet cotton, which you presumably bought for your aunt.
Oh,
only to use them for smuggling purposes.
Oh, Sylvia, you didn't. You didn't do a thing like that. Oh, how awful. How perfectly awful.
Stop play-acting, Edith.
What did you say, Martha?
I said stop play-acting. You can't let Sylvia be arrested for something she didn't do. If you won't tell Mr. Chameleon the truth, I will. Mr. Chameleon...
That's enough, Martha, quite enough.
And Edith!
Edith, put away that gun!
I've always told you, Martha, what would happen if you were stupid enough to speak out of turn. Well, now it's going to happen.
You mean, Mrs. Clarkson, that you intend to kill your sister and your sister's child with that gun? The way you coldly killed those others who threatened your safety?
Mr. Chameleon, you said Martha's her sister?
And your mother, I imagine, Sylvia.
What?
Quite right. You've been right about everything, Mr. Chameleon. Too bad for you it worked out like this, with nothing and no one between you and this gun.
Edith, you're not going to kill him.
Oh, not just yet, Martha. Sylvia comes first.
Sylvia!
And then you, and last of all, the great Mr. Chameleon. With a dollar bill in the hand of each of you. A dollar bill. You remember, Martha, years ago? A dollar was all that stood between us and complete starvation before I learned that
You learned that you had a first-rate criminal mind, Mrs. Clarkson, and could hit a narcotics ring.
Yes, and it paid off well. He's given me all this luxury and no one's taking it away from me, and Sylvia goes
Dave,
first.
Don't shoot that woman. I want to take her alive.
There, I knocked the gun from your hand, Mrs. Clarkson, and now I have
But where's Detective Sergeant Arnold? I didn't know he was here.
He isn't, Miss Sutherland. I wanted to take Mrs. Clarkson's eye off you and give me time to get the gun. Work. Don't move, Mrs. Clarkson.
You've got me covered. What can I do?
Well, just let me put the handcuffs on you, that's all. Oh, just a moment. I have something I want to slip in the bracelet on your right arm. A brand new dollar bill.
I still can't believe it, Mr. Chameleon. Martha's my mother.
Well, your aunt, Mrs. Clarkson, took you from her when you were a very small child, Sylvia. We got a detailed report from Claremont, Wisconsin, the town where they were raised. Your aunt always bullied your mother. She threatened constantly to harm you unless your mother kept up the pretense of being a servant. Then later, your aunt used you to cover up her evil traffic. She used you to carry messages, even narcotics.
I realized something was wrong. That's why I was so bitter and defiant and unhappy. But I never dreamed that she was doing anything so horrible.
Yes, I know.
But, Mr. Chameleon, why did you keep after me? Why did you keep calling me a criminal?
Well, your aunt was a very clever woman, Sylvia. I wanted to divert suspicion from her mind that she was the one. Well, now that it's over, will you make a new life with your mother?
I'll do everything I can to make her happy, Mr. Chameleon.
Mr. Chameleon, may I come in?
Yes, yes indeed, Martha. Come in by all means. There's someone waiting here for you. Your daughter.
And with these words, Mr. Chameleon concludes tonight's murder case. There is nothing as important as fast relief when you have an ordinary headache, and millions who want very fast relief use Bayer aspirin. For Bayer aspirin is ready to go to work almost instantly. Within 2 seconds after you take it, it starts to disintegrate, and that's why relief comes so quickly. Remember this, and remember, too, that Bayer aspirin is one thing you can take with complete confidence. We say this because no other pain reliever can match Bayer aspirin's record of reliability. Its record of use by millions of normal people without ill effect. So for fast and reliable relief, use genuine Bayer aspirin. And when you buy, ask for it by its full name, Bayer aspirin, never by the name aspirin alone. Get the 100-tablet bottle and you get Bayer aspirin tablets for less than a penny apiece. Listen next Wednesday night at this same time for Mr. Chameleon, the Man of Many Faces, in Mr. Chameleon's Pet Murder Case. The part of Mr. Chameleon is played by Carl Swenson, with dialogue by Marie Baumer from the original story by Frank and Ann Hummert. Music directed by Victor Arden. Your announcer is Howard Claney.
Listen, everybody. Thousands of laboratory tests on scores of individual teeth show that new Lion's toothpaste actually gets teeth brighter. 2.5 to 5.5 times brighter than any of the 5 leading brands. Brighter by far than any other toothpaste. And the reason is that it's not just another old toothpaste with an added ingredient, but is completely new and radically different in formula. A new kind of toothpaste that cleans without soap and polishes without chalk. So get more brightness in your smile. Go to any drug or toilet goods counter and ask for Lion's toothpaste.
Mr. Chameleon, the new mystery drama, will be heard in another performance next Wednesday night at this time. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Welcome back. Well, this actually was a really good mystery, and probably a lot more complex and intriguing than most of the Hummert mysteries we've heard. Because I think there was some surprises and some actually genuinely good twists. I do kind of feel like Mr. Chameleon is making things up when he says that he knew who the killer was all along. I can buy that he deduced it, but some of the things he said to the suspect, if he actually knew she was innocent when they were just privately talking together, really were unnecessarily cruel. And I don't think he goes for that. I think he might go for a bit of bragging, though.
I mean, seriously, even the way he talked to Dave about her, I think that it's safe to say that he really believed that she'd done it, and his mind was changed as he went through the investigation. Well, now I do want to go ahead and thank our Patreon supporter of the day. And thank you to Bruce, Patreon supporter since April of 2019, currently supporting the program at the Shamus level of $4 or more per month. Again, thanks so much for your support, Bruce. And that will actually do it for today. If you're enjoying the podcast, please rate and review it wherever you download your podcast from. We'll be back next week with another episode of Mr. Chameleon, but coming up tomorrow, we'll have an adventure with a man called X, where...
Listen to this, Ken. Americans go home. Fascist American pigs. Capitalistic warmongering Americans. Read the rest for yourself if your stomach can stand it.
No, thanks, Chief. I've heard enough.
But how do you account for it? You'd think that after all we've tried to do for those people, money, flood engineers, food, relief shipments, that, well, you'd think we'd get something a little better than this in return.
I didn't know we were asking the Italian people for anything.
No, of course we're not. We don't want thanks. We're only too glad to help. But confound it, we don't want any kicks in the teeth either.
Chief, that wave of un-American feeling is coming from the flooded areas. The people there are hungry, desperate.
Sure they are. But that's no excuse. We're sending them help.
But are they getting it?
Why, of course they... You mean the village of Chiori?
Yeah. Our main relief distribution center. That's where most of the propaganda's coming from, isn't it?
According to these reports from Bob Cunningham, our relief administrator, it is, yes.
And Cunningham also reported that he's been having trouble there. A warehouse full of relief clothing burned to the ground. Boats bringing American food upriver have been hijacked, disappeared.
Sabotage?
That's my guess.
But why?
Doesn't that propaganda give us the answer?
Yeah, sure it does. Italy's been a prime target of the Kremlin for years. A disaster like that flood is made to order for them. They'll do anything to capitalize on it, to... What are we going to do about it, Ken?
Suppose I let you know, Chief. from Giori.
I hope you'll be with us then. In the meantime, do send your comments to box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook. Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.